Of our group, it was Jesri who first had the courage to give voice to what was implied by all of this.
It is not a natural object. It was made and put there by humans.
It was not exactly spring. Winter was over, but frost still threatened. Bulbs were thrusting green spears up through crystalline mud ice. Several of us had spent the afternoon chopping down the dead stalks and vines of our tangles. We left these up through most of the winter to prevent soil erosion and provide a habitat for small animals, but the time of year had come when we had to take it all down and burn it so that the ashes could fertilize the soil. Now, following supper, we had gone out into the dark and set fire to the slash we had heaped up during the day, creating a huge gaseous fire that would not last for very long. Jesri had found a bottle of the peculiar wine that Orlo used to make, and we were passing it around.
It could also have been made by some other Praxic civilization, said Barb.
Technically, of course, he was right. Socially, he was annoying us. By putting forth his suggestion, Jesri had stuck his neck out, had exposed himself to the risk of ridicule. By agreeing with them, silently or not, we were accepting the same risk. The last thing we needed was Barb speculating about bug-eyed space monsters. Another thing about Barb. He was the son of Quinn, who, in a sense, had instigated all of this by making indiscreet remarks about the excellence of modern spelecaptors. This was hardly Barb's fault, but it did create a negative association in one's mind that bobbed to the surface at awkward moments. And Barb was a copious source of awkward moments.
That would explain the closure of the Starhenge, Arcibald said. Let us suppose, for the sake of argument, that the secular power has divided into two or more factions, perhaps arming for war. One may have launched a reconnaissance satellite into a polar orbit.
Or several of them, Jesri said.
Since I got the impression I was making calculations for more than just one object.
Could it have been one object that changed its orbit from time to time? Tullia asked.
Unlikely. It takes a lot of energy to change an orbit from one plane to another. Almost as much energy as launching the satellite in the first place, Leo said.
Everyone looked at him.
Spy satellite Vlor,
he said sheepishly.
From a Praxic Age book on space warfare, plane change maneuvers are expensive.
A satellite in a polar orbit doesn't need to change its plane, Barb snorted. It can see all parts of Arb by waiting long enough.
There's one big reason why I like Jesri's hypothesis, I said.
Everyone turned and looked at me. I hadn't been talking much. But in the weeks since Anathem, I had come to be seen as an authority on all things Orlo. Orlo's behavior in the days just before Appert suggests that he knew there was going to be trouble. Whatever it was that he had seen, he knew that it was a secular event, and that the hierarchs would make him stop looking at it as soon as they found out. That wouldn't have been true if it was just a rock. I was only agreeing with the consensus. Most of the others nodded. But Arcibald, of all people, seemed to take what I'd said as a challenge. He cleared his throat and came back at me as if we were in dialogue.
Fra Erasmus, what you have said makes sense as far as it goes, but it doesn't go very far. Since Anathem was rung down on Orlo, it's easy for us to fall in the habit of thinking of him as a malcontent, but would you have identified him as such before Appert?
Your point is well taken, Fra Arcibald. Let's not waste time taking a poll of everyone standing around this fire. Orlo was as happy to abide under the discipline as any avowed who ever lived.
But the launching of a new reconnaissance satellite is clearly a secular event, is it not?
Yes.
And moreover, since that kind of praxis has been around for millennia, long enough that Fra Leo here can read of it in ancient books, there is nothing new that Orlo could have learned by making observations of such a satellite, is there?
Presumably not, unless it embodied some newly developed praxis.
But such a new praxis would also be a secular event, would it not? Tullia put in.
Yes, Sura Tullia, and therefore no concern of the avowed.
So, said Arcibald. If we accept the premise that Fra Orlo was a true avowed who respected the discipline, we cannot at the same time believe that the thing he saw in the sky was a satellite recently launched from the surface of Arbor.
Because,
said Leo, completing the thought,
he'd have identified any such thing as being of no interest to us.
All of which made sense, but it left us with nowhere to go, or at least nowhere we were willing to go, except for Barb.
Therefore, it must be an alien ship.
Jessery inhaled deeply and let out a big sigh.
Frodtavener,
he said, using Barb's avowed name.
Remind me to show you some research back in the library showing just how unlikely that is.
Unlikely, but not impossible,
Frodtavener shot back.
Jessery sighed again.
Frod Jessery, I said, and managed to catch his eye and throw him a wry look.
Exactly the kind of signal to which Barb was oblivious.
Frodtavener seems very keen on the topic. The fire's dying fast. We only have a few more minutes here. Why don't you go on ahead of us and show him that research? We'll put out the fire and tidy up.